There's some of us who can still be caught unawares and admit that we once watched Clutch Cargo. But no apologies are necessary for growing up with Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Hurry, Bullwinkle! The show's about to start!
I'm coming as fast as I can!
J. Ward's Rocky and Bullwinkle debuted in 1959. It aired at night, not during the serial-selling hours of morning television. Rocky and Bullwinkle were always more Hope and Crosby than Howdy Doody. Rocky and Bullwinkle were cartoon satirists of the Cold War era. Mort Saul with antlers, if you please. They were the unassuming saviors of Frostbite Falls, Minnesota, who time and time again stymied the designs of no-goodnik spies Boris Badenoff and Natasha Fatal, whose tales were spaced between the exploits of Dudley Do-Right, the Mountie who loved his horse, fractured fairy tales, and Aesop's fables. Now, J. Ward died in 1989. His daughter, Tiffany Ward, has restored the first season of Rocky and Bullwinkle. She's just released them on DVD. Tiffany Ward joins us from her office in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
And June Foray was and is the voice of Rocky and a host of others. She's at NPR West in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hokey smoke, I just came in from Frostbite Falls.
I'm so glad I didn't have to beg you to do that. Thanks very much. And if I could turn to Tiffany Ward first. Did your father say, I want to do a satire that will charm children yet is accessible to adults, or was the process ever that deliberate?
Well, actually, he always said, I'm writing for adults. I don't believe in writing down to children, and my humor is for adults, but the children will get it. He always thought that the young kids would love the great voices and the funny-looking characters. The middle-aged kids would be striving hard to get some of the inside jokes that their parents were laughing about, and then the parents would truly get all of the jokes. And I think that's pretty much how it worked, and I think it's still why we're around today, some 40-odd years later, with people still interested in it.
June Foray, did anyone say to you, we want you to be the voice of a flying squirrel? How did they present this proposition to you?
I didn't know what Rocket J. Squirrel looked like, or Natasha. And I said to Jay, well, what does Rocky sound like? Well, he said, an all-American Boy Scout, you know. So I made it an all-American squirrel. And I said, well, what do you want Natasha to sound like? And he said, well, you know, we're having trouble with Russia. He said, don't make her Russian. Make her continental.
Boris, look, he's moose and squirrel.
He's always moose and squirrel. I get so tired of those two.
Well, this is your chance to get rid of them.
They were from Pottsylvania.
Oh, that's right. Pottsylvania. That's where they were from. And who was the voice of Boris? Forgive me for not knowing.
That was Paul Frees.
Okay.
He also did Inspector Fenwick, and of course, I was Nell, and Bill Scott was, of course, Bullwinkle, and Dudley Do-Right, and
I was, you know, all the Brooklyn princesses,
and all fairy godmothers, you know, and the witches, and it was fun doing it.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's listen to a clip. Do we have a Fractured Fairy Tales? We do have a Fractured Fairy Tales. Let's listen to a little Fractured Fairy Tales. This is, I believe, a prince coming to save Rapunzel.
Rapunzel, I have searched far and wide, but never has my heart been so touched by song or beauty such as yours.
I like you, too.
Will you be my wife and live with me in my kingdom?
Yes, I will gladly go with you because actually there doesn't seem to be any future here. I mean, Rapunzel, let down your hair, let up your hair. Gives me a headache, I'll tell you.
What were those ensemble recording sessions like?
You know, recording was it was almost incidental, Scott. We had so much fun. Jay liked to record about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we would come in, tell jokes. Jay would be in the control room and he'd say, okay, I guess we better do it. And the only time we ever did it again from the top is if we laughed or were over 2 seconds. But we had a ball.
Mm. And now, the scripts were very carefully written, weren't they, Tiffany Ward?
Yes, the scripts were written very fast and precise, and that's where the key humor was. And I remember going to those recording sessions and watching the group from the control room with my dad as a young kid, and they were hysterical. People were constantly laughing and trying to break each other up.
I'm thinking of some of the other names who were voices. Hans Conried.
Hey, Dad, do right. How did you escape?
William Conrad.
Correct. He was our narrator.
Don't miss our next exciting episode, When a Felon Needs a Friend, or Pantomime Quisling.
And Charles Ruggles, a wonderful character actor.
Yes, he was Aesop.
All set for today's lesson, Junior?
Yep. And Edward Everett Horton. He was wonderful.
Yes, he was Fractured Fairy Tales narrator.
It all started out with a plant, a variety of European bellflower used in the making of salads.
Tiffany Ward, I have read over the years that Rocky and Bullwinkle was not a big hit immediately during that first year. Is that the case?
I think from what I can read in the historical point of view, it was never a huge hit. It was never at the bottom. It was just kind of in the middle, and it had a lot of great critical reviews, but it never hit the public as super popular.
What do you think, if I could ask you both? What was the distinctive part of Rocky and Bullwinkle, as opposed to, say, Bugs Bunny, who I always thought of as kind of a wise-cracking Brooklyn rabbit, or for that matter, Bart Simpson today?
Well, you know, it was so sophisticated. It was mordantly witty. It's topical today. We insulted everybody. We offended everybody, but in a very nice fashion. There was no condescension to children at all.
Yes, and I think, they were groundbreaking, and they turned to the camera and talked. It was just very adult and very, taught the people a lot about satire and humor.
And June Foray, you still do Rocky's voice.
Hokey smoke, I sure do. Can't you tell?
Yes, I sure can, as a matter of fact. Well, I mean, like, how many times a year? Are there fresh cartoons being made, or what are you, appearances, or...?
There are no Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons made, but I work for Warner Brothers all the time. I'm tweeting Sylvester's granny, too.
You're Sylvester's granny?
Yes.
Oh, I love you.
So does Tweety.
Yes, indeed. Exactly.
Well, I'm also Cindy Lou Who in The Grinch. I'm Witch Hazel. I'm Grandma Gummy in The Gummy Bears. I'm Jokey Smurf. I'm a lot of people.
Oh, my word. But you still get a lot of requests for the Rocky voice, like in interviews and stuff, don't you?
Oh, my goodness, all the time. Every time I see a young man who comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat." And I always have to say, "Yeah, but that trick never works."
Oh, I love that.
Well, it looks as if our time has just about run out.
Just enough left to tell him who the sponsor was.
You got the credits, Bullwinkle?
All on this itty-bitty card. Oop.
It's been very nice speaking with both of you. Thank you.
It's so kind of you to invite me. Thank you so much.
Well, I feel the same way, too. Thank you.
Tiffany Ward and June Foray. Tiffany Ward has restored and released on DVD the first season of Rocky and Bullwinkle. June Foray was the voice of Rocky, Natasha, and is still the voice of many more characters.
We're late again, Bullwinkle.
Right.
Bye now. See you next time.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.